Brother CT's preaching this morning up at Brother Jonathan Barker's youth camp, and I'm sure that's a bunch of young people, and we need to just stop and pray for him right now. God will bless him. Let's pray for the mind battle. Men go through mind battles when they preach. I've been preaching tent revivals and been involved in them for over 30 years, and preaching meetings, and you preachers know the battle that there is in an extended meeting. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Satan comes to attack a man, and then he comes to attack everybody to him. Well, he goes before Job and accuses God to Job, then goes before God and accuses Job to God, and then he accused God to his face when he tempted Christ. So, of course, he wasn't tempted. God can't be tempted. Christ as man was tempted. We need to pray for him, pray for his strength, pray God will give him the mind of Christ. Nothing divert him, nothing distract him, and anything that attempts to, the peace of God will rule and reign in his heart. And God will touch his family, God will touch his vehicles. They wouldn't just be anything that would distract him. I can't tell you how important that is. And God get his full attention and touch him, and we need to pray for him. Right now that God would do that, and let's pray that every need of this meeting will be met. We're going to claim it right now. It's God's will. Every need be met. So we're going to ask God, and since we're going to ask him in Jesus' name, knowing it's his will, we're going to believe he's going to answer. And God's going to give every service the way it needs to be done this week for God's glory. Holy Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, because of the shed blood, his redemption, and the Holy Ghost regeneration, we've got the right and we've got the ability to come to you, O holy, thrice holy God, creator, savior, master. God, we love you today. Lord, we need thy touch. God, we need you to bless us and help us. God, this is a new day. God, with, Lord, new challenges, new opportunities. God, we want to live this day to honor and glorify you. We surrender it to you. And God, we pray for Brother CT. God, you'd undergird him. You'd clothe his mind, body, soul, and spirit. Great God, every part of him with the Holy Ghost. Touch him right now. Great God, flow through him that he might minister Christ to those young people. I don't know what his direction will be. There'll be those that are lost, those that are battling temptation, those that are God, maybe the call of God is on their life. God, we know it's your will. Those young people live for you. Give him the words to say, power to say it. Keep his throat strong. God, keep his every part of him strong. God, bless him, Lord. May we rally around him. May the men of God rally around him. We may never have this opportunity again. Oh, Lord, while we got it, may we fulfill the will and the purpose of God. Lord, I want everything, God, you want me to get. Don't let me miss anything. Oh, God, bind the devil. Break the power of the devil. Drive back the enemy. I plead the blood over this very ground, the borders of it. Oh, God, as old Dr. Ray used to pray, farmers who are a vacuum over this grounds, leave nothing here but the raw power of God. Remove the enemy, God, and give great victory. God bless. God bless. We claim loosed every penny, every nickel, every dime, every quarter, every dollar, every 20, every 100, every 1,000. God's going to be needed for this meeting. Great God, oh, you took 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You break it, and God, it's abundantly given. God, sometimes you give more, sometimes you cut the bills. So you will be done. We'll praise you. Christ's name, amen. Praise the good Lord. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12. I'm going to talk to you on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I can't get away from this. I stayed up early Monday morning, started Sunday night looking at this. And to get a proper understanding of this, to me, is essential. especially for God's men and for God's people too, but especially for God's men. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. There's no need in asking God to let you do what's not His will. He's not going to let you. And I say this many times, but it's a glad day when I quit telling God what I wanted to do and yielded to what He called me to do. Man's got to know his limitations. That's from a carnal movie, but a man's got to know his limitations. If you don't have the gift, if you don't have a special anointing, it's not going to be there. But you'll operate in the area that God anointed you for. That's so if every child of God, and ain't no need desiring gifts. God's done give you what you need. That's exactly right. Let me just say this at the offset. When you were born as a baby, did you wait a year to get your leg? Did you wait a year to get your arm? Did you wait a year to get an ear? No. You was born with all the equipment. It just needed to grow and it needed to mature. You were born with everything you need in this world to fulfill a physical earthly existence. When you're born into God's family at that second, God equipped you for what He wants you to do. Now you may not do it, but you've been equipped for it. And if you'll yield to what God wants you to do, you'll know it, other people will know it. I think in the ministry, number one, a lot of times we go with our desires, even though that can be wrong, but we try to go with what we feels in our heart. And then we go with what that the Lord sanctions. And we go with what the church recognizes. You got a gift from God, the church will recognize it. That's right. They'll recognize it, and you'll have public authority and credibility. Amen. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away with these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God can call Jesus accursed, and no man can say Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, a lost man can say Jesus is Lord, but he can't do it by faith. He can't do it from his heart. He can do it from his mind. But a saved man can do it under the leadership and power of the Holy Spirit. I was talking to a woman in the church. She's in a nursing home. And I was over there reading, and her favorite, she got saved at Myrtle, January the 4th, Independence Day, 1979. And she was raised Southern Baptist and was in, at that time in WMU, run everything. And anyhow, she got converted. And Romans 8's always been so special to her because the devil's give her a hard time. But I was over there reading Revelation 21, 22 about, the land where there'll be no more sickness, death, and sorrow. I got done with that, Brother Randy, and she said to me, she looked me dead in the eye, and she's had Parkinson's disease, and it's two operations where you can't understand her son. She looked at me in authority, said, I believe that. Boy, when she said that, there's something jumped up in my soul. She said that by faith. That's what this means. You ever had somebody say something to you by faith? Amen. And in the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. I mean, the same Spirit gives them all. There's differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There's diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. It's to profit the church. Everything God does, I'm going to tell you something, God's got his eye on the church. He's got his eye on the church, and he's got Israel on the back burner, but he's watching them too. That's all God's interested in this world. That's his heart. You say, what about the lost? They get saved, they're going to get in the church, ain't they? For to me it's given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now, the apostles had this gift. Brother Andy, if a man's got that gift today, you don't have to pray about nothing. When Peter would walk by in his shadow, would touch somebody, they'd be healed whether they had faith or not. It was an apostolic gift to the unbelieving Jew. What we don't have the gift of healing like they did. What we do is pray, and by faith, we find out God's will. Well, it's God's will to heal everybody, then why does people die? Why do the faith healers die? Why do they get cancer? You need to use your mind. God give you that to think with. Sometimes it's God's will to heal. And sometimes he'll heal when people exercise faith and the Holy Spirit. If you walk close to it, he'll give you the faith to believe it. You don't have faith in faith. You got faith in God and in God's will. Amen. So he goes on, he talks about the gift of healing by the same Spirit. You don't need a healing line. No. You don't need cameras. And they don't need to be all invisible diseases. They can be outward. Amen. To another, you know how God's healing nowadays to a great extent, he's let men in his mercy discover medicine. That's exactly right. God normally does not heal the human body if you can afford medicine. Or if medicine can do the job. Now, if you're out here in the middle of Africa and you're sick and can't find a doctor, you got every right to pray God heal you without the aid of medicine or doctors. But God normally does not do the miraculous if the physical can be done. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and same Spirit, dividing every man severally as he will. Now the question is always asked me, do you believe that in modern day speaking in tongues? Yeah, if you can go to a nation and preach the gospel, not learn their language, you got it. Now that's what it means. If you know hermeneutics, the law first mentioned is Acts chapter 2. And they spake in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And those Galileans, they couldn't believe. They're preaching to 17 nationalities and they're all hearing in their own language. And Simon Peter's preaching one language. Probably Aramaic. Might have been Greek. Language of God's Hebrew. He spoke to Paul in Hebrew. Hebrew knew, Paul knew all of them languages, but Christ spoke to him in Hebrew. That's exactly right. That may be heaven's language. That's not an unknown tongue. You need to try to dissect what's the purpose of things. Does it edify a person or does it bring glory to God? Is it a spiritual status sign? Is it something somebody can flaunt that they're more spiritual than you? And you better hear this well. Anybody that's got to teach you a spiritual gift, that ain't God. You don't learn spiritual gifts. They're given by the Spirit. It wouldn't be a miracle if you had to learn it. That's right. I don't know why I'm on this. Because I didn't intend on mentioning this, but you about have to. Here's somebody jump up speaking in tongues. Over here somebody interprets. Well, how do you know what they said interpret is what they say? Well, they just said Jesus is Lord. Why can't you say that in English? My God, that's foolishness. And that always disrupts the flow of a service. It makes me get to willies. Amen. If that ain't of God, I'm going to ask him when I get to him why he didn't give it to me. That's right. When I first started preaching, I tried to get it. I wanted everything God had. I'll just be honest with you. I wanted to be sinlessly perfect. I wanted to be sanctified where I didn't have that old nature. I tried all that stuff. I couldn't get it. I wouldn't have no troubles if it wasn't for the old nature. Satan wouldn't have nothing to work with. Your old nature's all got Satan's got to work with. Buyers don't bother me. They got nothing to work with in me. Satan bothers me because I got a nature like his. That's exactly right. Romans 12. But everything's to be done for edifying, isn't it? You know, if there's somebody come in your congregation and they speak another language, two, at the most three, they got to go one by one. Somebody's got to interpret and only men can do it. That's the Bible. Amen. Don't make the Bible say what it don't say and go seeking fleas and lose your kingdom. Seeking something and all it's going to do is depress you. That ain't going to edify you. And that's an open door for demons. You better hear me now. You say, I don't agree with you. Well, just forget I said that and let's just go on. But I believe it's right. Why is it every spiritual gift, listen to me now, every spiritual gift that's for today has been in operation for 2,000 years? Why some of these gifts not been around for 2,000 years or 1,900 years? And all of a sudden they appear again. And we're in the days of the great apostasy and doctrines of devils and demons. Is that not coincidental? You say, well, I've seen, it don't matter what you've seen. It don't matter what you felt. Don't matter what you heard. What does this book say? Yeah. Amen. That's it. If you don't let the Bible be your standard, you're going to be in false doctrine quick. Well, I heard Grandma, don't matter what Grandma done, if she don't line up with the Bible, she's wrong. She may be sincere. Man, I'm getting hung up. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Well, that's, verse number 3. Here we go. For I say through the grace given unto me to everyone that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to him, every man the measure of faith. Now he's going to talk about spiritual gifts. And he says, no matter what you got, you're not to think yourself more spiritual than anybody else. For as we have many members in one body, and all our members are not of the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member is one of another, having then gifts different according to the grace given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait for on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. And I think there's a real application there. God gives you that gift. You got to wait for him to open the door for you to exercise it. You don't have to promote yourself, folks. Or he that exhorteth, exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with all diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now I want to stop right there. As a result of regeneration, every one of us has become a walking temple of God. That's what we really are. Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The church, the fullness of the Holy Spirit is manifested through the local church. Ye are, all of you, the temple of the Holy Ghost. But we are singularly also. But the general aspect, God deals with the local church. Almost all references in the Bible to the church is on a local level. And we see that, and we see the importance of being a member of that local body. So we're indwelt permanently by the Holy Spirit. He's come to make his abode in us. But when he does not come empty-handed. How does God, the Holy Spirit, when he regenerates somebody, he comes bearing gifts. He gives spiritual gifts to everybody. The church is, I got this outline from an old man, but it's a good one. The church is spiritual and it's supernatural in its origin. The church is spiritual and it's supernatural in its operation. And I added 2 more to that. The church is spiritual and supernatural in its objective. And the church is spiritual and supernatural in its optimism. Boy, we're to be positive. And I mean, we don't preach negative. We're to believe by faith that God is doing a work and it's going to be done until the Lord gets here. Is God going to save people? As long as the Holy Ghost is here. As long as the church is here. That's what he's been sent to do. But Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it was given to him the mystery of the church. And it was revealed to him that the church is a body. And we're a member of a spiritual body. Now, every part of my physical body has a physical function. And it's put there for a reason. And I got it at birth. God didn't ask me where he wanted to put my ears. Have you ever noticed the makeup of your human body? Where each part is the only place it could be and you function right. Look where he put your nose. Look where he put your eyes. Look, he gave you eyelashes that never grow. They get to a certain point, and you know, you don't have to cut them. You cut your eyebrows, but you don't cut your eyelids. Ain't that something? Ain't that amazing? Man, and then God knew where to put your legs. He knew where to put your big toe, little toe, balance you. He knew how to give you a hand. There was, in a foreign country one time, there were some pagan people that were seeking God. They had such a desire to know God. And one woman started this and she said, I know there's a God. Our government says there's no God. But I know there's a God because of my hand. Look how gracious God is to give me the hand. All I can do with my hand. She said, I'm going to start worshiping the God of the hand. So she started worshiping the God that's so benevolent, so loving, he'd give you a hand. And the missionary came and, of course, told her about the one that made the hand. Amen. But we think about how that the gifts of the Spirit are to edify the church. Bring glory to God and not to exalt you or me. Boy, that's right. Anything that exalts us is not of God. If the church was not this supernatural, spiritual creation of God, sustained by the Spirit, it would have gone out of existence 2,000 years ago. Vance Hebner said the way man runs a church, it's got to be a God. Or it stopped a long time ago. So the Holy Spirit comes to give everyone spiritual gifts so they may exercise them for the edifying of the body of Christ and the advancement of the kingdom of God in this world. Now, it's not good enough that, and by the way, the church is not an organization. It's an organism. It's got life. It's not good enough that it's supernatural in its origin. It's got to be supernatural in its operation. It's not good enough that God saved me, regenerated me, redeemed me. I've got to have power to live the Christian life, and the greatest enemy I face is me, and I've got to have power, and God knows that. Any work that is not supernatural and is not spiritual will end up being shallow every time. Now, how do we define spiritual gifts? What did Paul intend here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Now, if they're gifts, they can't be earned. If they're gifts, they're given by grace. And if they're spiritual gifts, they operate in the spiritual realm, but they're manifested in the physical realm. These gifts, what are the gifts? They're special abilities. They're special, gracious endowments by the Holy Spirit. They produce miraculous results. Now, if the church is not supernatural, it ceases to be Christian. How many things go on in our Sunday morning services that could not be explained if there was no Holy Spirit? That's what's wrong with us. Our people are operating in the realm of the flesh and the carnal and not in the realm of the Spirit. And when we get to church, it just tells on us. Now, think at salvation, you were given certain abilities to be a help and a blessing to advance the work of God. The Holy Spirit distributes these gifts as He will, to make the church effective, an endowment of grace given for service. Now, the gift of the Spirit is the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are these abilities or endowments given to edify the church. Now, what's the difference? Just like the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, they're not the same thing. The fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit are not the same thing. The fruit of the Spirit, go to Galatians 5, you'll see the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. If you got that first in love, you'll have all the rest of them. If that number one operating in your life, all of them are. Boy, that's right. And that first one isn't operating right, none of the rest of them are either. Love is the first thing.
It's a great commandment.
Amen. Now, the fruit of the fruit of the Spirit is a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis for the fruit of the Spirit to be lived through you. And the fruit of the Spirit is the life of Christ. It's the life He lived when He was on this earth. The Holy Spirit's come to reproduce through us the life that Jesus lived when He was on this earth. The gifts of the Holy Spirit have to do with service. Now, what we're experiencing and enjoying from Christ is the spoils of His victory. He won a war and He gained some spoils. And He's brought them back and He's given them to us. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He conquered sin, self, and Satan. Listen to Ephesians 4:8 right quick. Wherefore, He said, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He gave gifts to His people. Verse 10 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. Christ is in heaven fulfilling everything He died for. That's the church, His ministry of being our intercessor, and on and could go with that. Verse 4, He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, watch this. Christ Himself, when He went back to heaven, established the offices of the church. He did. That's what it says. Christ Himself gave. He's the one that gave the office. The Holy Ghost is the one that appoints them. Christ gave the offices in order for the church to go forward. That's why when you're going from Jew to Gentile, law to grace, Israel, Judaism to the church, it takes supernatural miracles to vindicate and give credibility to what God did. That's why He got apostles and prophets in the early church sense. These offices are divine institutions. The apostles were special ambassadors with special gifts. Boy, man's really taken much upon himself to call himself an apostle. That's silly land. That's Jokeville. An apostle has to see the resurrected Christ. Glorified Christ. That's what Paul saw. Saw the light of His glory. They saw, but they were given special gifts like nobody else had, because they were the arbiters of the establishment of the church. The Jew requires a sign. And the Jew had to see if you got in the Old Testament, if you got up in the Red Sea, if you got a wilderness journey of 40 years, really, Kadesh Barnea, they missed God for 38 years, but here they're in the wilderness, God sending down manna from heaven, He's got a water supply to water 3.5 million people and all their cows and all their sheep and all their animals. And they're out there in a barren wilderness, and God's doing all that supernatural stuff. Pillar cloud by day. Air conditions keeps all that heat off of them. Pillar fire by night to warm them in the cold and to put the fear of God on the devil and every nation in this world. Don't mess with them. They're God's living with them. And God gave them a tabernacle. The Shekinah glory of God was visible. God gave them a temple, and the Holy Ghost come out of that holy place when Solomon dedicated the temple, and the smoke of the glory of God was so thick they couldn't enter the holy place. Well, if you got all that supernatural stuff happening, and we're going to go a new way, you better have some credentials of the supernatural to a Jew. That's what this was, primarily for them. And also, you go into pagan lands, you better have power on you. God gives missionaries special authority against demons. He gives them special power to get the work done, or they'd be consumed by the enemy. So the apostles had all that special power. At the end of Paul's ministry, he is losing his gift of apostleship, the power of it, that is. He is carrying around old Luke with him. He is sick. That's right. He left some at places sick. So that was already fading out, that apostolic gift. Because he's the 14th one. You got Matthias replaced Judas, and God recognizes it. God recognizes what the church does. And then, Paul, I think, is the 14th one. Now, they've indicated that Christ was alive. How would you explain that? Man come to town, that kind of power. How would you explain that? They come to Christ. Nicodemus said, we know. Every honest minded man knew. We know the art of teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles. They'll do us. Except God be with them. And they go in there and vindicate the power of God that's on them. And then people hear the message. So what do? We go out into the world. And the Holy Ghost lives the fruit of the Spirit through us. And we show the power to love and the power to forgive and live holy. And the world sees us and they know there's a difference. It's not as dramatic, but it's just as glorious. And then God raised up prophets. Folks, I know you know this. I'm just repeating what your pastor say. Revival preaching is just a second witness to the pastor and saying amen to what he says. But the early church, this is what amazes me. God did not give them the New Testament for decades. The last book of the New Testament was not even written till 95 A.D. Therefore, God made them learn the Old Testament backwards and forwards and the types and symbols of Christ so they could go in Jews and show them Christ in the Old Testament. But when you got a matter in the church, you got to have a word from God. And these prophets would get a revelation from God about how the church is to be operated. And until the word of God got here, they were standing in to let them know the will of God. And of course, they were accountable by discernment of the pastor. Amen. But the church was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. I'm taking too long to get through this. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. I'm talking about the gifts, the offices that Christ himself originated and established for the church. It says here, apostles and prophets, they've got authoritative relationship to God's people. Then you got evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's all in effect today. Now, I'm not saying the gift of prophecy is not here. And it's here in this sense. There are old people and even sometimes young people that make predictions about things. Old Dr. Ray was good nut. He'd scare you to death. He'd tell you how many lost people's in a service. He'd predict all these events going to happen, and they always happen. And some of your grandmas had that. They prophesied you was going to be a preacher to somebody. Hope they didn't tell you. Sometimes they do. But they knew it. That's like Brother Divine that was down here. His mama died telling people, my son's called to preach and he's running. Yes, sir. Had people praying all over that part of the country in Pennsylvania. My boy's called to preach, but he's running. She knew it. That's that prophetic utterance. God tells people his secrets. But you better make sure that's God or you can get messed up. Best thing, do not even say nothing for a while to make sure God keeps that on you. Now the evangelist has the gift to win the lost and to establish churches. And then God sends a pastor. That means shepherd. He feeds the flock. Ephesians 4:12. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. So we've got evangelists today. We've got pastors today. We've got teachers today. And they're responsible with different gifts to equip the church, to edify the church and advance the kingdom. So every believer has a spiritual gift to perform some function in the church that all the needs of that church physically and spiritually will be met. Hey, you dear pastors, what if we had a church that everybody was operating in their spiritual gift? I'd like to see that one time. the Holy Spirit gives the believer himself and then gives. He baptizes him into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink of one Spirit, all baptized into one body. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. Now we pray for the baptism of power, or the baptism of love, that's to be saturated, immersed with it. But you know, nowhere in the Bible does God ever say to pray for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He promised it. John the Baptist told of it. And then it happened on the day of Pentecost. Jesus promised the believers would be baptized by the Holy Spirit. But were commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what? If a man the Lord through his men, Paul, likened the fullness of the Spirit to being drunk. Because when you're drunk, you're under the influence of a spirit. The old people called liquor spirits, distilled spirits. And you turn into another man. You may turn into being violent, or you may be one of these old sloppy drunks, gives everything that got away. But alcohol does not leave the person like it found him until it wires off. They're changed. People that are introverts, you can't shut them up if they get drunk. Men that's got a guilty conscience will be preaching to everybody when they get drunk. That's what Hank Williams done. That's what Elvis Presley done. That's right. He wasn't a drinker. He done pills. Get off of that. What I'm saying is, when you're under the influence of something else, you're under his power. That's what being filled with the Holy Spirit is. To give you victory in daily life, and to exemplify Christ and live Him. So we see the time of the bestowing of spiritual gifts is at salvation. Again, look at the human body illustration, the imagery and analogy here. For the body is not one member, but many. I have a hand, I have a foot, I have a leg, because I'm a body. I didn't work for a hand, I didn't work for a foot, I didn't work for a leg, I didn't work for an arm, I didn't work for an ear. It was all given to me. At birth, I didn't merit it, and I didn't have to ask for it. Now, the Lord's the one making this analogy, so it fits. I've got two hands. I got two legs. I got two arms. I got five fingers. I got two ears. And the result of a physical birth, not subsequent to a physical birth, at physical birth. Now, in like manner, we've got spiritual gifts. You don't pray for them. You don't work for them. And you don't earn them. Every saved person has a special spiritual ability to serve God. Every born again believer has the ability to do something for the church that's supernatural. You take somebody who's got the gift of giving. That's supernatural. Because God puts that generosity in a person's heart. And like Wash Pennington used to say, if God can get it through you, He will get it to you. And some people, He can really get it to them because He can really get it through them. Nothing wrong with saving. Nothing wrong with preparing for the future. But everything we got, it don't belong to us. I believe in Lordship. It's all the Lord's. He's letting us borrow it and see what we'll do as stewards with it. When we obey the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, He exercises these spiritual gifts. Now my hand, my foot, my arm, my leg, they don't know they're a foot or a hand or a leg. They have no brain of their own. All they know is they do what they're told to do. They do what the head tells them to do. A lot of times we don't even recognize our spiritual gift, but when we're under the direction of the Holy Spirit, we're doing it. That's how you know what it is. What do you excel at? What do you have a special burden ability for? Now these are gifts of grace. We obey them or obey God. We exercise them. The Lord speaks through Paul here in Romans 12. Now I got to get through this real fast. Verse 3 of Romans 12. I say to the grace of God given unto me, to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, are all members of the, and all members of the, are not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having the gifts different according to the grace given unto us. Now, what's he saying here? He is saying here that the gift that we have, that we're to be content to operate in that gift that God chose to give us. Romans 12:8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. That means if it's not done by faith, it's sin. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, when we operate according to the measure of faith that God has given us, our gift glorifies God, edifies the church. Romans 12:7. Of ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. We're to walk in humility and graciousness in that area of that gift. You know why? 1 Corinthians 4:7. Who maketh thee to differ from another? There's no strutting in God's kingdom. Anybody struttens, you're showing how carnal they are. They don't have one thing they didn't. They wasn't given by God. And God takes it away. That's what happened to Samson. He said, I'll become like any other man. You take God off of anybody and they're just another man or another woman. For who maketh thee to differ from another? What is thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou didst not receive it? So what do we have to boast in? You say, man, I can run. Who gave you that ability? Say, I'm strong. Who gave you that body? I'm smart. Who gave you your brain? I can preach. Who gave you that gift? I can sing. Who gave you that gift? God wants you to do it in humility and give all glory to him. And it ought to break your heart and you ought to cry that God would use you. Look at all the people like me give anything in the world. I've always wanted to be an artist, and I've always wanted to be able to sing tenor, and I can't do neither one. But I sure enjoy them that do. So if you're an artist and you can sing tenor, you ought to shout. Some preachers have the gift of evangelism to reach the lost. Some have the gift of exhortation and encouragement. Some have the gift of instruction or teaching. The man with the gift of evangelism may not be half as spiritual as the pastor that feeds the flock. You better hear this now. When a person exercises a spiritual gift, that don't mean they're full of the Holy Ghost. That means God's given them a gift. I've seen preachers mean as junkyard dogs, arrogant, cocky. And they get up and preach and people get saved and I shake my head. Then you'll see some little humble preacher over here full of a Holy Ghost. He don't see people saved hardly at all. How do you explain that? You explain that by gifts. Some men have the gift of evangelism and some don't. You know, I'll illustrate this by an illustration that's close home here with Brother Randy. Brother Arthur Blackburn said, I always wanted the gift of evangelism like Percy Ray. That's what I always wanted. But God never gave it to me like that. God always let me exhort the church, and they called it Mr. Camp Meeting. And one man operated in one area of the gift that God gave him, the gift of evangelism, and another, the gift of exhortation. That's God's doings. That's why a pastor will labor and do all the work, and the people will pray. And God's got an evangelist come in, the gift of evangelism, and God just sweeps soul in the kingdom of God. Who worked for those souls? The pastor did. God brings an evangelist in, God's sovereignty. You know why? We're laborers together with God. Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. God let the pastor see people get saved. But a lot of times there's a special harvest and God uses that special gift so none of us gets puffed up that we've done something. Paul told the church at Corinth, they didn't come behind in any gift. Most carnal church in the Bible. They had all the gifts. So carnal, I wouldn't even want to be a member of it. But the filling of the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to live for God Sunday through Saturday. That's what's wrong with this unthought out theology. That every pastor ought to have a 1,000 member church. every pastor's not gifted that way. You say, oh, they're just lazy. I'll tell you one thing. You want to live under that kind of pressure and put that kind of pressure on these little men of God that's been faithful their whole life and kept hell off his country by praying and God restraining. Salt of the earth, don't get any recognition. The last will be first. Amen. What's more precious to God? Me up here operating in a gift God give me without being filled with the Spirit, or a man somewhere praying full of the Holy Ghost? Which one honors God the most? That man full of the Holy Ghost, acting like Christ because God can trust him. So we see here the filling of the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to live for God every day. And thank God for that. Now, I believe that when God gives people these gifts, it'll be recognized by the church. These gifts are given at salvation. They are given selectively. That means they differ. 1 Corinthians 12:4, right quick. I keep saying right quick. I'm trying, folks. These are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. That means different kinds. There are diversities of ministration. That's different ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations. That's activities in God's ways. In operation in the church, it's the same God, which worketh all in all. I mean, God does the work in all of us. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. That means it's for the common good of the church. It's for us to help one another. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. One's got the ability. You've seen this. There's some people that's got the gift to give wisdom about daily life, about the Bible, but about daily living. And then somehow the gift to give somebody a special word of knowledge that they need in a special area they're having a problem with. And then some have the gift of discernment. My daddy has that gift. My daddy can spot a crooked preacher quicker than anybody I've ever seen. That's a pressure on me to live right. To another, faith. God gives people a special gift of faith. When God's building a ministry to reach a lot of people, it might be a small church. But when God gives a church a responsibility to reach out and do a great work, he gives key people special gift of faith above the normal. Now, we're all to have faith, but some's got special faith. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit. And of miracles, and to discern the spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Now Romans 12:6 says, having then gifts different according to the grace that's given unto us. Now, why do we have people trying to get us to buy their books to learn some spiritual gift? Frauds, counterfeits, swindlers. Now, they may be sincere doing that, but a lot of them's not. If it's a gift, it's given. If it's given by grace, you can't earn it. If it's supernatural, you can't learn it. Now, you say, what if the toe wants to be an eye or an arm wants to be a leg? So these gifts are given at salvation. They're given selectively and they're given sovereignly. 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the one manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. 1 Corinthians 12:11. But all these worketh that one selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, all them boys in the school of the prophets wanting to take Elijah's place, they're whistling in the wind. God chose Elisha. And God yoked him up with him a long time before he left this world. The gifts you got is sovereignty. They're given by the Holy Spirit. Now, if that's not what it means, and I don't know English, the Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. It's up to him. Christ ordained the offices. It's up to the Holy Spirit to ordain, to give the gifts to who he wants to. The Holy Spirit decides which gifts we're to have and how to distribute them. 1 Corinthians 12:18. And now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. The Lord didn't ask me where I wanted him to place me. My finger didn't ask God. Or I didn't ask, you know, where God wanted to put it on. God didn't ask us where the finger go. He put it there. God didn't ask us our input on the spiritual gift. You say, well, you ought to covet the best ones. Well, that's true. That's right. And also says, any man desire the office of bishop, he desire the good thing. That don't mean he's called. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers. His gifts are sovereign for the profit of the church. So I'm not to seek spiritual gifts. I'm to yield to what God's given me. I'm to operate in the area God's enabled me to operate in. And I'm to be content in that place. Ministries are different. Activities are diverse. But it's the Holy Spirit that gives the church its personality and its purpose. So we're members of a body. We got different functions. We look different. We're treated different. We work differently. We accomplish different purposes. Some are more important. Some are better than others. Some parts of your body are more valuable than other parts. You can have some taken out and still live. You can lose your finger. It's not as bad as losing your hand. But you can never function to full extent unless you've got your fingers and your hands. And that's what's happened to us. We're trying to operate on Sunday with the body. It's in cast. It's on crutches. It's in a wheelchair. And so many people ain't functioning. I wasn't going to say this. Do you know why leaves fall off a tree? Here's why leaves fall off a tree. What if God left them all up there? You had to go up there and get them off. When the sap starts leaving, the life goes down, the leaves fall off. That's right. And we're so crippled at the church. Crippled. People's not operating in the function God give them. And your body's got, you got to obey the head. The finger, what good's a finger to go in its own direction? I say, don't touch that burner. That finger going to touch you anyhow and burn me. Well, no, the body doesn't do that. It obeys the head. We need to obey our head. God bestows them. God gives them. Gifts are given at salvation. They're given selectively, sovereignly, and for the purpose of service. 2 Corinthians 12:2, the prophet to profit with all. 1 Corinthians 12:7, that is. There's never been a gift ever been given to exalt a man. Now it gives him credibility. It's to exalt him in the kingdom of God, but not him personally, not for the boasting. If every member would exercise their gift, all the needs would be met. Look at the people in the church, gifts of helps. Funerals come. I got people where I pastor and you men do also. Got a gift, sitting with people when they're dying. It's a gift. Some people just got a gift of encouragement. I've seen churches, there'd be maybe one person in that choir got so much glory on them, I'd go to hear the choir to watch them. Because it's just encouraging to see that optimism in being in love with the Lord. When we lose our supernatural ability, we're reduced to a business. That's what we're reduced to. So may God help us. Amen. I want to read 1 Corinthians 4:7 in closing. For who maketh thee to differ from another? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou didst not receive it? You know what I'm to recognize? The Lord has given Brother C.T. Townsend the gift of evangelism. If you don't recognize that, I don't know where you've been. He's got the gift of evangelism. And I just want to thank God for it. You know why? Because the Holy Ghost gave it to him. He didn't get that at Bible college. You don't get that at a Bible college. You go to Bible college to learn how to study. And you don't go to learn how to correct the Bible either. At least correct us. God's giving him gifts. You know why Brother Andy's been at New Hope Baptist Church 37 years? Because there's a group of people over there recognize the gift God gave him. And they follow him. He give them, he's got their heart, they got his heart, they're bonded. He's got a choir leader over there, got the gift to sing. Got a choir, people got the gift to sing. Got people that give money, got a gift to give, make money. Some's got faith, some's got a special prayer life. That don't make one a better person than another. But those that exercise that gift are most valuable. Most valuable. Well, you know, some people say, well, I can sing. Well, if you've been out in a bar last night, I don't want to hear you. That's right. You need to exercise that gift. And you're not going to figure this thing out. This is in God's hand. God gives a special direction. May God help us in this day. It'll help all of us preachers to realize God didn't call us to be the next George Whitfield. Can't be it. It's got to be me. And I can't go no farther than the church recognizes the gift God gave me. Because that's what they're going to accept. Listen, God's got to vindicate us. And when he does, there's nothing more special, precious. You may be here today, you pastor 20 or 30 people. God bless you. No, that's faithfulness. You got men that had a bad offering Sunday. People's left them. They're so discouraged. If there's anybody we ought to have a heart for, if somebody's been faithful and they're struggling. I mean, we ought to make a beeline to love on them. Amen. Exercise those gifts. But let's pray for the service tonight that everybody here would exercise the gift God give them. Pray, give, have faith. Those supposed to sing, sing under the anointing. God's man have total liberty and freedom. In the y'all's churches, God will make you functional. I've been down on my back on a bed in the hospital. Ain't nothing I was more determined to do than get out of that bed. We need God to heal us. Get our people operating in that gift God give them. So the church can be functional. Full charge. Holy Father, we humble ourselves before you. Oh Lord, if there's any good that could ever come out of me, it would have to be you. Because I've got such little natural ability. I'm glad you didn't give me more. I might have got proud. Lord, I got to depend on you. Because I'm just...